After walking down the slope a little, I sat on Rock and Joe and Ruth took Megan down a little further. I watched them walking hand in hand with Megan in the middle. I lay back onto the rock and closed my eyes for a few minutes, soaking up the sun. Even though it was chilly, I could feel the heat of the sun, and the rocks felt warm. After a little while I heard Joe, Ruth and Megan coming back up and I opened my eyes and sat up. I looked towards the path but they were still out of sight. As they got closer, I could see Megan in the middle with Joe on the right and Ruth on the left lifting her and swinging her in the air. Megan was laughing her heart out, having great fun, skipping and jumping with the help of her dad and her big sister. What happened next filled me with exuberance and delight. Megan's guardian angel appeared, skipping behind Megan. She appeared to skip right through her and danced along about 3 feet ahead of her. Megan's guardian angel looked like a young girl, with brown eyes as big as saucers. She was so bright and beautiful, her feet were bare and, of course, did not touch the ground. She looked about 8, with long, dark, plaited hair braided with an orange, red and green thong. There was a red feather in her hair and in the middle of her forehead she had a light in the shape of a star. For a brief moment I thought I saw wings. She wore a light gold-colored sleeveless tunic of no particular shape. Megan's guardian angel was radiant, her movements were graceful, like a feather. Then this beautiful guardian angel skipped back into Megan's body and disappeared. No one else had noticed her presence, and they continued walking up the path towards me. Megan's guardian angel looks very different to my other children's guardian angels. They were not childlike, but this one was, and I believe this guardian angel will grow with Megan as she grows. Thinking back, I remembered that Megan's first word had not been mum or dad, but a word I had never heard before. I told Joe that the angels were telling me the name of her guardian angel and I asked the angels to spell it for me, so that I could write it down for Megan to have when she was a little older. When I'm working around the house, out in the garden, or even walking down to the shops, I always pray silently. One evening, I was working hard at home as most mothers do. I had the house to myself, more or less, and Joe and Megan were fast asleep. Ruth was helping a friend babysit, Owen was playing sport and Christopher was at a friend's house on the far side of town. It was dark outside, but through the window I could see the street light on the corner. I was enjoying the peace, being alone and yet not totally alone. I started to notice the stillness of the atmosphere, the change as time started to stand still, no sound could be heard. I looked down at my hands and noticed the energy all around them, flickering and full of sparkles. This energy is perpetually there, but sometimes it gets stronger and brighter before an angel appears. I knew that any moment an angel would appear. It's not always like this, sometimes I don't notice anything and it just happens. I walked out the kitchen door with a towel in my hand and bumped into a white angel in the hall. She told me to come to the front room then vanished. When I opened the front room door I saw another angel, a much more powerful and exceptionally beautiful angel, standing by the window. She smiled at me. She was very, very different from any angel I have seen before, or since. Her dress was stunning, a fiery red and gold. I have never ever seen a dress like it. On top of her head was an exquisite crown and, emerging from the center of the crown and flowing down over her whole body, were millions and millions of fine, silk-like threads, plaited together. Each plait was entwined with diamonds and sapphires of all colors. This beautiful angel had dazzling wings, like fiery flames rippling constantly, with sparkling jewels within the feathers. I could see in exquisite detail and yet I find it very hard to describe this amazing angel. She was unique, perfect in every way, every part of her seemed to be alive. She was so dazzling, I had to look away for a moment because my eyes could not take in all of the beauty. Her face was radiant with life. She was perfect, her eyes were blue and shone like the sun, but a billion times more radiant. How can words describe that? All I can say is, when I looked into her eyes there was such gentleness, compassion, peace and such love radiating from them. I know this superb angel standing in front of me could see everything. It was as if she recognized and knew every particle within the universe, say something completely beyond our human comprehension. I was trembling, I was in the presence of such power. I was allowed to feel this power and to recognize it. There was another angel standing to my right behind me. I was only aware of its being there when it said, "Lorna, walk a little further into the room." I took another few steps, not taking my eyes off the beautiful angel in front of me. I was conscious of the door closing behind me. The magnificent angel moved towards me saying, with a little smile, "Lorna, do not be afraid." In that instant I felt such peace and joy within me. The angel continued, "Do you know who I am, Lorna?"
"No,"
I replied. "I am the Queen of Angels." "Do you mean you are the Mother of God?" I said. I was shocked, but on another level, I knew who I was with, my soul knew, but my human part was very shocked.
"Yes, Lorna," she answered, "I am the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of all angels, the Queen of all souls."
"Lorna, don't be afraid, ask me the question that is on your mind."
"Queen of Angels," I said, "I have seen you many times. You are the mother that I have seen in the sky with a child." I remembered how, as a child on the swing in Ballymun, the angels had shown me her face.
"Yes, Lorna, you are right," she said. "My real wish is that you, the Mother of God, would appear for the whole world to see." I was crying now. For all hatred and wars to stop. For all the pain, all the hunger, all the destruction caused by wars fought over material things, over religion, over power to cease. I looked at her pleadingly, with tears running down my face. "The world needs a miracle. Lorna, I will reach into people's hearts and, one day, I will appear and the whole world will see me as you can now." The Queen of Angels gave me such a smile, her eyes radiating love, and the radiance of light that surrounded her like fiery flames reached out and touched me and took all my sadness away. I asked her would I see her again and she said yes. Then she was gone. I believe that this will happen. The Queen of Angels has in the past appeared to people, and continues to appear in different places today, but only to small groups. I believe that, someday, the Queen of Angels will appear for all to see, not just some, and will appear, not just for a fleeting moment, but will remain for some time, for the world to see and acknowledge. She will come to provide the evidence that mankind, in its weakness, requires a, and this will be the beginning of a major change for the human race. Chapter 26. An evil spirit shows himself. Sometimes a person will let Satan enter their life. This can happen through deliberate, malicious intent, or through feelings of jealousy, anger or a perception that life hasn't been fair to them. For example, Satan frequently gains access to individuals when there is a dispute over property or a will. The extent to which Satan darkens a soul varies. This influence may give that individual what appears, externally, to be a great life, but it will destroy the lives of those around them and ultimately, if nothing is done, it will destroy the soul of the person involved. Growing spiritually, reconnecting with God and the angels and letting God's love and compassion back into the heart is the only way of driving out Satan. When asked, the angels will help to do this. It doesn't even have to be the person who was affected who asks. A family member or friend can also pray for help, and I have seen many occasions where this has worked. It's worth remembering this when one comes across evil in one's own life. A prayer from anyone, of any belief or background, can and does make a significant difference. People can grow spiritually, unbeknown to themselves. They may not notice it happening. Perhaps someone might have prayed for them. Perhaps as a child they might have asked and years later they are spiritually awakened. I meet a lot of people to whom this has happened. Over the years many people have come to visit me who are under Satan's influence, to some extent. I will always see it, because Satan can't resist showing off his presence. One time,
a successful Irish businessman came to see me. He said he wasn't sure why he was there, but that a friend of his had convinced him to come, although he admitted it had taken his friend 2 years to persuade him to do so. He told me he had done some terrible things. He admitted that he never, ever considered how his actions would affect others. As far as he was concerned, there was only one person who mattered, himself, and one thing that mattered, money. Something was happening to him, though. He told me that his old friends no longer liked him, and his family would have nothing to do with him. But I know that someone was praying for him, and that was why he came to me. He asked me why he felt no remorse. Somewhere, somehow, he knew he had done wrong, he knew he should feel remorse, but he didn't know how to feel it. He wanted to be able to feel remorse, and he wanted to get his friends and family back. The man sat with crossed arms at my kitchen table and said he wanted to change. He didn't want to be like this anymore. His head was bowed, but I could see there were tears in his eyes. Then I was shown the evil spirit of Satan coming forward. The man was a little bent over the kitchen table, resting on his crossed arms with his head down, but I saw a distorted face rising, as if out of his chest, from the very depth of his being, and turning its head sideways. The man was sitting perfectly still, as if all this were unknown to him. The distorted face, the face of evil, looked at me and sniggered. This time, as on the other occasion when I have seen evil spirits within people, it seemed to be saying, "I almost fooled you this time, you nearly didn't catch me." The evil spirit had been hiding, but it had decided to show itself to me. For some strange reason I don't fully understand, evil spirits cannot resist showing themselves to me. However, when this happens, I know that Satan has lost again, and that God and the angels have won. I prayed over the man, blessed him, then gave him the healing prayer, which he put into his wallet. Over the next few months I constantly prayed for him. About a year later I got a phone call from him. He told me that his life had changed, that it had actually begun to change when he had left my house, but that he had been afraid to acknowledge it. He said that he was trying to make restitution to at least some of the people he had hurt, that his business was going well, but he was now managing it in an honest way. He said he hoped he hadn't left it too late to thank me and God and the angels. I reminded him to keep asking the angels to help him, and never to forget to thank them for anything, no matter how small. To this day I pray for him. One day, as I was crossing the main road on my way to do the shopping in Maynooth, I heard a voice say, "Slow down, Lorna." I couldn't see anything other than a light beside me, but I knew it was Michael's voice. "Let's turn up this little lane so we can talk in peace." I turned right into a little lane and walked until I was sure I could not be seen from the road, and then, as I knew would happen, Michael appeared in a human form, very human, except I thought he looked a bit too new and too perfect, and when I looked into his eyes I could see the angel in him. "On your way to Maynooth we want you to walk slowly across the canal bridge," he said, "and take a look down along the canal, for as far as you can see." "What's wrong?" I asked. "Tell me before I cross the bridge, Lorna," Michael said, "you are unaware at this moment of a little baby's soul, the soul of a baby that has been conceived, but not yet born. At the moment you cross the bridge, your two souls will become connected. You'll also become aware of the mother, but she will be like a ghost to you, very faint." I felt as though he was talking to me as if I was a child, as if I wouldn't understand. "Michael, I am a grown woman now with children of my own," I replied. "I don't understand what's going on, but I accept the connection between this little soul and myself. Will you walk over the bridge with me?"
"No, Lorna.
You must walk over the bridge on your own. Walk slowly, there will be another angel on the bridge to help you understand, to help you to get to know this little baby's soul as it grows in its mother's womb. Do whatever that angel asks. Every time you cross the bridge, this angel will be there to meet you and accompany you for a part of the journey. Your connection to this baby's soul will grow stronger as the months pass. We turned around to walk back up the lane, and as we approached the main road, Angel Michael disappeared. I looked in the direction of the canal bridge and, sure enough, I could see an angel waiting for me. He was tall, slender and elegant and white as snow with a radiant light. I walked slowly, as Michael had told me to, and as I put my foot on the bridge I felt the connection with a little soul. The angel was standing in the center of the bridge, and when I reached him we stood together. He looked at me with great gentleness and love, saying, "My name is Angel Arabia." Angel Arabia touched my hand and I turned to look down along the canal. Everything was like glass, nothing seemed to move, as if it were a picture. I was allowed to feel the mother and the love she had for her unborn child, and I could feel her tears, lots of tears. As I stood there on the bridge, someone walked past and said hello. I replied, out of habit. I walked the rest of the way across the bridge, then down the hill towards the town. All of the time the angel walked beside me. People and cars passed in both directions. I whispered, "See you soon, Angel Arabia." Then I went to do the shopping. My daily life as a mother and wife continued, alongside my work with the angels. As time passed, the baby grew in the mother's womb and I learnt more about the little baby soul, the love the baby was sending to its mother and the mother's deep love for her unborn child. Even though I could never see the mother clearly, as she always seemed like a ghost, I knew she was there and that she was struggling. Every day I crossed that bridge at least once, sometimes much more frequently, and often I asked Angel Arabia, striding beside me as if in slow motion, "Why is the connection not as strong when I walk down the hill as it is on the bridge?" Angel Arabia never answered me. One day I said to him, "Sometimes I feel as if the mother and child are in those two fields there, over that wall. At times I have wanted to climb over the wall and search for them, but I know they are not there, nor are they along the canal. Can't you tell me more?" But the Angel Arabia only replied, "When it is needed." I have learned over the years with the angels that no matter how many times you ask a question, they never deviate from the first answer they gave you, and sometimes they will not reply at all. I must have walked with Angel Arabia hundreds of times across the bridge, and I frequently asked for information but never got any other answer than, "If and when it is needed." One morning, after the children had gone to school, I told Joe I would head into town to get a few bits and pieces and his prescription from the chemist and that I would be as quick as I could. Walking from the cottage, I noticed things were different. Angel Arabia was not waiting in his usual place but was standing at the end of my lane, on the main road, some distance from the bridge. As I looked towards the bridge, I could see there was a mist on the right-hand side of it, although not on the bridge itself. I reached Arabia and we walked together. I could feel the silence, the unspoken words. I wanted to speak, but knew I was not to. When I reached the bridge, I saw that it was not just mist that was covering the canal water and the banks of the canal, it was Angel. The whole area along the canal bank leading up to the bridge was laid with a milky white mist full of angels, snow white, beautiful angels, bright as a light. I stood there, overwhelmed by the beauty and the strangeness of what I was seeing. Angel Arabia's hand touched mine. I could hear the angels chanting as if in one united voice. They were moving up and down along the canal bank within this mist all the time in slow motion. Some of them turned in my direction and acknowledged my presence. Angel Arabia told me they were getting ready. Tears came to my eyes, and at the same moment Angel Arabia withdrew his hand. We started to walk down the hill, away from the bridge. I could hardly feel my feet touching the ground. I looked down and I could see the mist filled with angels around my ankles. When we reached the end of the hill, I looked at Angel Arabia beside me. "It will not be long now," he said. I continued into town and did the shopping as quickly as I could. I couldn't see any angels around me, but I knew they were there. I said to them, "I have questions to ask." But I got no answer. I was thinking to myself that maybe I should walk home the other way, not by the canal, but when I reached the center of the town I was pulled to the left, so I knew I was to walk back the way I came. Angel Arabia was waiting for me at the bottom of the hill leading to the canal bridge, looking more radiant than before. We walked together back up the hill towards the bridge. I looked down along the canal and knew that if I fell into this mist I would not hit the ground, but would be cushioned and protected. I knew in some way this cushioning was also a preparation for the arrival of the baby, but I couldn't fully understand it at the time. A few days later Joe remarked that I had become very quiet, that it was as if I was somewhere else. I looked at Joe and said, "I don't think you would understand what is happening, even if I told you." "Try me," Joe replied. So I did. I told Joe a little about the angel at the bridge, about the spirit of a baby and its mother. He listened attentively and told me that he found it all hard to understand, but that he wouldn't ask any more questions. I thanked him and he gave me a big hug. I don't know where the baby was born, if the mother was on her own or had someone with her, if it was full term, or born prematurely, but one day in March I just knew the baby had been born. From that day on I lost all sense of time. I constantly felt the touch of Angel Arabia's hand, no matter where I was. It was so intense that I would not see someone walking towards me and I would bump into them. Angel Arabia still stood in the center of the canal bridge, hovering like a powerful force. Now when I approached the bridge he would descend to meet me, yet he would still be hovering above it at the same time. I realized now that the misty path laid down by the angels was a path for the little baby spirit. Arabia was waiting for it. Every time I approached the bridge, I could see the mist, and in some way I was made conscious, even though I couldn't see it, that this little baby's spirit was being ushered down by the angels. One day I was going down to collect Ruth from school, and as I walked up the lane from the cottage I saw Angel Arabia standing at the end. He didn't say a word but indicated for me to cross the road. What I saw was breathtaking. I could see this beautiful baby's spirit crawling along the soft and smooth path that the angels had made. The baby looked as if it were crawling, its legs and arms moving, but in fact the angels were carrying her. I could see angels' wings supporting her. Angels were all around, crawling along the path beside her, helping her, playing with her. The baby's spirit was very happy, I could hear her laughter. My heart was full of joy, and yet there were tears in my eyes. I had suddenly realized that the baby's spirit was coming to my house. I don't know why. To this day, that I was chosen by God and the angels to see this little miracle, why this little baby spirit was coming to my house. But it was. She was getting closer all the time. I don't know how long it took the angels to travel the distance with the baby's spirit, but one day I was told they were very near. That night I went to bed and woke as normal at 6. I went into the kitchen and a brilliant light was shining in through the window. I got a glass of water and when I turned around Angel Arabia was standing at the kitchen door. I know I shouldn't have been startled, but I was a the angels always take my breath away. "Go back to bed," Angel Arabia said, and moved closer to Joe to make room for another. I did as I was told. I could feel the little baby spirit coming into the house. Lying there in the bed I could hear the sound of movement in the hall. I prayed and asked that everything would be okay for the little baby's spirit. The bedroom filled with mist and angels poured into the room. They had arrived. I could not see the baby's spirit but I knew she was down on the floor, surrounded by angels. "Angels, can I sit up in the bed?" I asked. "No," I was told, "you're not allowed to look yet. Turn on your side and move closer to Joe so there will be more room." Doing this, I disturbed Joe and he asked sleepily if I was cold. I reassured him. I was nervous that Joe might wake at this crucial moment, although a bit of me knew the angels would not let him wake fully. I felt the sheets being moved by the angels. I felt movement on the bed and then I felt the baby spirit lying right next to me in the bed. I could still see nothing of the baby spirit, as I was facing Joe and the baby's spirit was now behind me. I was afraid to move in case I would lie on her or hurt her in some way. I felt a baby's hand touch my back. Can I turn around now? I asked. Yes, the angels replied. Turn around slowly and carefully, the little baby spirit is lying beside you. I turned around, terrified of squashing her. Oh my God, I exclaimed, forgetting Joe was beside me. I quickly put my hand to my mouth. Joe did not stir. There, lying beside me was a gorgeous, naked, newborn baby girl. She was healthy and strong and moving her arms and legs. She was beautiful and perfect, flesh and blood, completely human in appearance, but more beautiful than any baby I have ever seen. She was radiant, the spirit within her lighting up the human body that I was being shown. Two angels stood by the side of the bed, looking down on her. They were magnificent white angels, dressed in flowing white robes which draped over them perfectly. They had wonderful faces, like porcelain, and every feature was clear and they shone like the sun. Their eyes were as white as snow and shone with a glittering light. They had wings of feathers that seemed to spiral and touch a light above them. Can I touch her? I asked. No, you can't touch her, but you can put your hands above her, they told me. I reached out and held my hands above her. As I did so, she turned her head and looked at me. Her eyes were full of life and shone brighter than any of the stars in the heavens. She smiled, and at that moment I heard her say, "Tell Mummy I love her, and Dad, too." Then the two angels bent over her and picked her up, their wings entwined around her. As they rose, the heavens opened with gentleness and in a flash of light they were gone and the room was back to normal. I knew it was over. I praised and thanked God. Later that morning I went to Jim the Butcher's and everyone was talking. I was asked had I heard the news. A newborn baby's body had been found along the canal bank near the bridge. No one knew who the mother was, or what had happened, but a man walking his dog had found it early that morning. I realized then that the baby had been found at the moment the angels had disappeared from my bedroom. I was so happy. I cannot explain the happiness I felt. But it was a great joy and relief to know that the baby's spirit had gone to heaven and my task was complete. The local community was very upset. They were not aware of anything like this having ever happened before. They were shocked to think that there might have been a young woman, perhaps a student from the college, who had felt it necessary to keep her pregnancy secret. The police investigated, but as far as I know, they never found the mother. Perhaps she will read this someday and realize that whatever the circumstances of her baby's death were, her little baby loved her and was never left alone. There were always angels with her, as there are with all babies, both those who live and those who die, whatever the situation. The community was so moved by this baby's death, that they took a collection and bought a grave so the child could be buried properly. Before she was buried, the little baby was given a name. Bridget is buried now in the graveyard in Maynooth. Joe was getting sicker and sicker and he started having a series of minor strokes. They were terrifying for him and sometimes he would go blind for a few minutes, or his body would go completely limp. Walking had become very difficult now, and he frequently fell over. Despite my best efforts to watch him and catch him, he was black and blue all over. The doctors said they could do nothing. The angels tried to cheer me up. One day I was walking around the housing estates nearby, enjoying the warm sun and watching everything around me, when I came to a green area. Children were out playing football and people were stretched out on the grass enjoying the good weather. I noticed a child in a wheelchair. She was curled up asleep. Her body seemed quite twisted and she was pitifully thin. It was hard to tell her age, but she was probably about 7. Her mother sat on the wall a short distance off, talking to neighbors. As I got closer, I could see the child was getting brighter, as was her wheelchair. Everything became still and silent. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Her soul moved out of her body, leaving her sleeping form there in the wheelchair. It radiated light and looked just as that little girl will look when she goes to heaven, perfect in every way. She was so beautiful. Two angels appeared in front of her and took her hands. They were both girls who looked much the same age as her. Then three more angels appeared, Again all little girls, dressed completely in a white so radiant that a blue tint seemed to come from it. I stood there, unable to move, overcome by what I was seeing. This little girl's soul had stepped out of her body to play with the angels. They played chase, but they never moved too far from the wheelchair.